So I'm fascinated by this topic of selling organs and the ethics behind selling organs. And so there,
like market, or?
So I mean, there's a lot of aspects to take with it, so it's fascinating. So in the Rav Zilberstein Sefer, so in Shir Tzar L'Rov and Chalek Beis, so it's the first source here. So it's not actually a source. It's in the first footnote about this tshuva. He says the following. It just tells you why it's important. The siman hazeh v'avay macharav ikar hadiyun hu biyisod halachai mutar l'adam lachbol begufo b'lit from eiver b'shulach nasa kasbit. The question he's going to deal with in the next couple of simanim is, can you harm yourself for financial gain as opposed to the mitzvah of atzalas nefashos to save a life? So can you harm yourself just for financial gain?
How does that differ from working in the coal mine?
Okay, maybe, but that's... That's going to be, but he goes, ulam...
How's it different than organ donation?
That's what he's saying, it's organ donation, but not for the mitzvah, for money.
I'm saying, but, so is there a difference
between... It's organ donation, you don't want organ donation.
But organ donation is free versus organ donation
for money?
Yeah, for money.
That's just, okay, but fine, that's not the point.
Well,
But whether this should actually be public policy, because people may pressure people to do things that aren't safe. Alternatively, for financial reasons, maybe we should have a public policy consideration around it. I'll talk to you later. Meaning, there may be broader issues here. I'm not going to deal with it. So in Simon Kuflam Chet, in that same Sefer, so then he says, what about the broader policy issues? Because whatever broader policy issue you're going to say is going to come in the face of Pekuach Nefesh. Meaning, you're going to tell me, I could pay this guy for his kidney, but because of some overarching principle, we're not going to. So he said, Vishamati Marichami Maran Hagrishal Yashiv Shlita Kedalalan. If this would have been a Beis Din who would have said, "Hey, my Osrit Hamischar Be'evar and Blirishut Beis Din," so the Chachamim would have paskened that it's Osir. Meaning, if they would have asked the Chachamim, we would have made a public policy consideration, you're not allowed to do it. But no one asked us, which is fascinating, because it's the law in Israel. Ad kedei kach, that the law in Israel was that altruistic kidney donation was also illegal. You could only donate to a relative, originally, only to a parent or a sibling. And then they extended it, Rabbi Yeshua Haber.
Initially didn't have a list.
They didn't have a list. Well, they had a list, but you couldn't get on it. So he passed away from COVID last year. He was the one who started Matnat Chaim, which is the Israeli equivalent of renewal, which is just altruistic innovation. But my point is, he's clearly aware that there are issues that have to be discussed, or like broader issues. And you know, if they would have asked us, we would have had a talk about it. It would have been us, sir. But they didn't ask us.
It's a bizarre kind of a
thing. That's not what I want to talk about. So I want to focus on the weeds for a moment. Maybe in the future we'll talk about the broader issue. But I want to focus on the weeds, the technical issue of actually paying for an organ. There are a lot of things we're not going to talk about. Is ownership. I'm not interested terribly in who owns the organ and are you selling the organ. They're interested in, can you sell an organ? What do you mean? Zevin has a whole piece called Mishpat Shylock based on the Merchant of Venice. Can you sell parts of your body? So you're not, yes, no, it doesn't matter. I mean, because you could come up with another scheme to compensate the person without paying for the organ. That's not the point. You can find some other way to compensate him without the bailiff question. They say, oh, but maybe if it really is a question of ownership, so then if you're actually selling it, so then who owns it and what more method of kinyan are you going to do? Is there chazara? Let's say you want it back. These are interesting questions. I think they're moot because once it's
lease,
meaning it's mekachtos, but once it's in
lease,
which is lease, meaning what if after he dies? They don't talk about all of these things. I'm not terribly interested. People talk about these things. You can come up with some other way to buy the organ. Not buy it. You're compensating without paying for it, without actually acquiring the possessor. You can get around this problem so easily. It's terribly not interesting to me. The question that I want to talk about is, if you're solely doing it for the purpose of mammon and not for pikuach nefesh, so is that okay? Is that going to be chavala l'shem refuah?
Or is not? That is on the other end. In other words, people are destitute. They're desperate. They're selling an organ because
they need the money for themselves. So that's another angle. So there's a Gemara Menachos. The Gemara Menachos is like this. It's talking about something else. But Mahu Batar Machshavta Vazlinan, the Gavrali Surka Machavin, Odilma Batar Maisa Vazlinan. In another case, not having to do with us. But do you follow his intention? Do you follow his action? What does that mean? Samarli life hinders the Rabba over the Rava. Isn't this exactly the case that Rabba and Rava were discussing? Ditma, Shama Shetava Tinok Bayam, you heard that a baby drowned. Uparas Mitsuda Lahalos Dagim, and you went fishing on Shabbos. You shouldn't do that. Vehela Dagim, you went fishing, you caught fish, so Chayav. Okay, you fished on Shabbos, Chayav Teda. But Lahalos Dagim, Vehela Dagim Petinok, you intended to fish, and you caught the fish, and you also saved the baby. Oh. Rava Amar Chayev, Rava Amar Potter. Rava said you're Chayev because you intended to fish. You didn't intend to save the baby. You intended to fish, and you fished. So you're Chayev for fishing. You also saved the baby. You could have also, been doing, helping an old lady cross the street at the same time. It doesn't detract from the fact that you fished. Rava Amar Potter. Rava says Potter. So Neglar says, no, why Potter? Because he's going to say at the end of the day, your action was... The question is, the Gemara positions it as Batar Machshavto, his intention, and he intended to fish, or Batar Maisav, that he actually saved the baby. So the Gemara says, no. V'ad kan Rabba loka Batar elokevim deshama. Amrina nami dati atino. No. But Rabba's going to say, well, because he knew that the baby was drowned, he had in mind also to catch the baby. But if he wouldn't have had in mind at all, anachanami, he would have been chayav for fishing on Shabbos, meaning that mitzvah pikuach nefesh doesn't seem to factor in here. And Igmar says, no, vikat amr lehainu plik tayo de rabba de itmar. It's a no. Reread this whole Gemara. Shamash atava tinok bayam, you heard the baby drowned. Uparis mitzvah de lahalos dagim and you went to fish. Vehela dagim and you caught fish. Chayav. Lahalos dagim vehela tinok vedagim. Now what if he caught both? You intended to fish and you caught the baby also. Rabba amar potter, vrava amar chayav. Why? Rabba amar potter, zil baiser masav. At the end of the day, I don't care what his intention was. How else are you going to catch the baby? The only way to catch the baby, you spread a net, you catch the baby. That's what he did. V'rava amar chayav. Why zil batar machshavto? You follow his intention. He didn't intend to catch a baby. So his action was not a catching a baby action. His action was a fishing action. He's chayav for the fishing. I'm sure the parents would be grateful. Maybe they'll pay for the sheep to bring us a korban, but whatever. The Gemara then continues, amar rava. But got to pause. So it seems to machlokas, rava and rava. What do you do? How do you paskin? So would you just pause for a moment? If you flip the page to the Rambam, the Rambam Perek Beis Hilchos Shabbos. I'm going to turn this to a PDF. Put the long page. So halacha says Zayin, doing it out of order. Mefakim to koch nefesh b'Shabbos, ain't tarchlito v'shusim basin. You're supposed to save people on Shabbos, you don't have to ask permission. V'amachim latil nefesh arayz meshubach. And if you do it quicker, it's better. Ketzad, rati nokshanaf alayam. You saw a baby fall. Paras mitzudah ma'alehu. You set it in and catch him. V'afal bishu tzadim otagim imo. If you catch fish at the same time, not a problem. Shama shetavatinach bayam. So that's not exactly the case in the Gemara. But shama shetavatinach bayam. You heard a baby drowned. Uparis mitzuda lahaloso. And then you put in a net to catch him. Vehela dagim bilvad patur miklum. And you caught fish, so then you're patur. You didn't intend to catch fish.
Go ahead.
Right. You didn't intend to catch fish, and you caught fish, so that's different.
We're going by machshava.
Right. So here it's worse. Correct. Well, no. Nitkavin halo dagim vehela dagim v'tinok. If you intended to fish and you caught the baby, also, behelad agav dingo putter. I feel lo shama shetavel. Even if you didn't hear that the baby drowned, so not like the first because I'm reading more with the second one. Hoil behelad tinok im hadagim putter. Because at the end of the day, you did the action that would have saved the baby. You saved the baby. Putter ma'isav. You're following the masa. You're not following the machshava at all. That's clearly how the Rambam's path.
Putter mikulam just putter.
Miklum. Meaning no drabonon. You mean not putter halaser, putter miklum.
The other one's putter halaser.
I don't know. It could be that he's trying to make the point that don't come at me from one of the lines of the Gemara, but if you go back to the Gemara, though, and then the Rambam's Pasuk is in a second, the Gemara continues in the second to last line, Amar Rabba, Cholos Amdu L'Gugaris Achas, V'Ratzu Asar B'nei Adam. So, for whatever reason, in the Gemara, the assumption is that figs save lives, and they're life-saving figs. Sick people need figs. Whatever. So, Cholos Amdu L'Gugaris Achas, he needs one fig to save his life. V'Ratzu Asar B'nei Adam, so you can imagine in shul, they said he needs a fig to save his life, 10 people will run out, each one picks a fig, they view Asar Grogros, and 10 people bring it, V'Vas Achas Turin. So they all brought it together. They're putter. I feel a bit there. I feel cut them very show now. They're putter. Even if the guy got better with the first fig, the other 9 people who brought figs, their actions were useless. Their actions turned out to be completely useless, right? because only the first one saved a life. So it sounds like the Gemara is bringing this case right after the previous case, because it's the same thing, right? Do you follow the actions, or do you follow the machshava? Each one of their machshava was good. In the other case, the machshava was bad. Here, the machshava was, they're each trying to save a life. It just happens to be that their actions didn't save a life. So which one do you follow? So I would have paired up, it sounds like, if the Gemara is trying to pair up these two cases, right?
Well, the Rambam says in Tzadayin, he says that if your intention was to save the baby, not only got fish. So
then you're chazer also.
There is machshava.
Well, for an iser, you have to have the machshava.
Right.
So, but does saving the baby help you if you didn't have it in mind? So he says, yeah, because you follow the ma'aser. The problem is that in Halacha Zayin, the Rambam passes the second half of the Gemara. He says, even if all 10 bring the figs, so they're all putter. So why are they all putter? Well, they're all putter because they intended to do Pikuach Nefesh. But you just told me, because he tells me later, because it's Halacha Zayin, Halacha Tzayin. But in one place he's telling you follow the Machshava by the figs, you're following their Machshava, not the Masa. But in Tzayin he's telling you you're following the action, and not the Machshava, because if you intended to catch only fish and you caught the baby, so then you're putter. So then what's going on?
He's always makel, Pikuach Nefesh.
So he was always makel, but be consistent. Meaning, you have to always be makel. But the Gemara seems to not say that. Meaning, right. The Gemara puts them one after another, and it continues in more cases, but it seems like they should follow the same, pattern.
There's something, where is in Testament, what does he say that he's chayav for anything? It seems like all the cases, he's putter.
Correct.
The same thing in the case of the figs.
Okay. Meaning, but the reason you're putter is because you're following the action. Meaning the reasoning is different. Correct, you're putter in both. That's Evan's point. Evan's saying, no, you're putter because Pikuach Nefesh is your mikel. But I'm just saying the reasoning is opposite reasoning.
One's because of the mindset,
one's because of machshava. Now you can tell me, because when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, what do you mean? Mikel. Okay, that's my answer. I'm going to try something can't fear. But fine. So let's leave that question aside for a moment because I'm going to answer it at the end. But this is the question, do you need a machshava by Pikuach Nefesh or not? So Dr. Abraham writes, so just interestingly, when Shulchan Aruch quotes this Rambam, he adds in a line. If you take a look, it's Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rambam. Amdu perishit bonu v'machalta v'shira. They estimated harofim shesarch gogeres achas need one fig. V'ratu asara the heviu lokol achad gogeres and to all 10 people kulam p'turim. They're all pater. V'yesh lahem sachar tov me'is Hashem. They all have sachar more than just pater. So that's going to be a key in a minute. Anyway, so Dr. Abraham, when he presents this idea, so he first of all he's talking about someone who's selling organs to pay back loans. So he just has a paragraph, which is just, that's why he's a good person. What kind of society do we live in where we've caused people to be in such terrible straits that they're going to sell an organ to pay off their debt? Like, where to blame if someone pushes themselves into that situation? Fine. Okay. Doesn't answer the question. But that's how he just thinks it's important to note that. And
probably yes, though.
Yeah, but he says it, but it's...
But like, he could do it, just he shouldn't. You
know? It's Nebuch. Like, he might be allowed to, but what does it say about us? Even if he's allowed to. Fine. So he says like this. So that was just an introductory comment. So he says in the bottom, Achitachin says, Atali b'machloket ben hagram feinstein, Zatzala ben hagrashas, Orabach Zatzal. It could be machloket of the Ramosha and Rishon Zalman. I mentioned this in the Chabur a couple of weeks ago. He says, why? And the machlokas is about if you're a firm Jew on call on Shabbos, should you switch call with a non-firm Jew? To switch with the guy would be great. Should you switch call with a non-firm Jew? Right? Meaning, so Rav Moshe says, yeah, you should switch with a non-firm Jew. Because this way, some of the malacha that he's going to do is going to be mutter mishum for chafesh. Otherwise, he's going to sit at home watching TV. Here, if he's watching a screen, he's turning on screen, that's at least partially the seraph to go chafesh on some. It'll be better than if he sits at home. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch says no, because when he does it, he won't have in mind that it's l'shem mitzvah pikuach nefesh. He'll be doing it because that's his job, not for the mishum the mitzvah pikuach nefesh docheh Shabbos, and therefore the heter of pikuach nefesh doesn't apply to him.
So
that's what he's saying. He suggests it's the same thing. He looks at Igros Moshe after in miskavin lemitzvah. The Moshe says you're not, but even when the non-firm Jew is not intending to do it for the mitzvah. He's going to be mechalas anyway. So at least here he'll be mechalas Shabbos, but he'll do it l'shem mitzvah, so it's better. Bo bezman shalfei parshas orvach v'tal adif shomer mitzvah yichal al Shabbos kevin shekavanot alachal av la'avur tashlom v'ulai hu adin kan. But according to Rav Shlomo Orbach, he says no. If you're not doing it l'shem mitzvah, so then it doesn't allow you to do a cheder chilul Shabbos. Meaning you need to do it l'shem mitzvah in order to be matired chilul Shabbos.
Shlomo is on a hold somebody who's not that sick. I mean, we've hospitalized patients.
Yeah.
But there's some people that are close to going discharged.
So maybe chol shem bo sakana. You can only do what you can do.
The question: do you anything then?
So the question is, there a
mitzvah? No problem. Maybe you don't do anything.
No, but maybe there's a mitzvah to be doing a rabbanan b'shuna for cholosh einbo sakana. I would argue that there's a mitzvah to treat the cholosh einbo sakana, alti whatever you're allowed to treat them, that you're still fulfilling the mitzvah, partial mitzvah of
Tov Chavadus. Rav Asher Weiss says maybe now it's sakana, but it could develop.
Right, but let's say he's on this, he has a discharge. But even if he's not a sakana, meaning let's say the cholosh, is there a mitzvah to help a cholosh einbo sakana
on Shabbos?
No, I mean, there's a mitzvah to help him during the week, there's a mitzvah to help him on Shabbos.
Okay.
But meaning you're telling me it's not Pekuch Nefesh, but okay. So I would argue there is. It's a partial mitzvah.
Well,
a
child's
a
right?
Ainbo. Okay, but... Correct, but is that a mitzvah? This B'makom Logos, or you have to figure, maybe... Okay.
So, how does Rosh Hashanah deal with the Rambam? Because if he says there's no... The guy doesn't have Kavana when he saves the baby, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I haven't seen him deal with this Rambam. I have to... Dr. Abraham is not apparently with him anymore, so I don't know if he asked him about
That's
this. Yes, I would ask him if he asked or someone about this piece. I can ask Dr. Steinberg and see what he says.
I don't think he's out of this.
Anyway.
Abraham?
Yeah.
I mean, early 80s.
Early 80s only?
I heard him speak 20 years ago.
Yeah, so I was there a while ago, but I had heard he's not...
Not well.
Okay, not well. Okay, so one way to deal with this... So Rav Moshe is saying, really, based on the Kovat Ha'aros that I pointed out, that really, he's saying then, wait a minute, you don't need a mitzvah to fulfill the Pekuach Nefesh. Maybe, and it happens to be that the Kovat Ha'aros says the same thing. It happens to be that the Kovat Ha'aros also says that the reason you're allowed to violate Shabbos or Pekuach Nefesh is not because of the mitzvah of Hatzalas Nefashos. It's not that there's a mitzvah to save a life, and that mitzvah is Doche Shabbos, right? But rather, that nothing is allowed to stand in the way of saving a life, even if there was no mitzvah of Pekuach Nefesh, even if you're not fulfilling the actual mitzvah of Pekuach Nefesh, but you're saving a life, but there's no mitzvah involved, you'd still be allowed to violate Shabbos. And he has two proofs, which are fascinating. The first is, I think I may have mentioned this, the Bahag quotes, can you halal Shabbos to save a fetus? The Ramban quotes a Bahag, and the Bahag seems to, both of them say yes. But he says, but it's not a person. Meaning, it's not v'chai b'hem. You can't say it's v'chai b'hem because it's not alive. So there's no mitzvah v'koch nefesh, arguable, the whole Kovat Ha'aros says it, and you still violate Shabbos. Why?
If he's not alive.
He's not, you can't say v'chai b'hem. He's not a chai. That's what Ramban says. You can't say v'chai b'hem.
So if you kill a fetus, it's...
So, okay. Meaning, Reb Chaim will tell you, if you can v'chal Shabbos for it, you can't kill it.
We're thinking after Arim Yom, it's already considered.
Considered something.
Right.
So we'll do the Ramban. He says it's not a full dog. So there's no kiyumis mitzvah of Pekuach Nefesh. There's no mitzvah of Hatzalas Nefashos. Fine. Arguable. That's his first proof. The second one is Tosfos in Bava Metzia Kof Yudalid, when Eliyahu HaNavi revives the Ben HaShunamit, right? The Ben HaShunamit dies, and he's a Kohen, and he brings him back to life. And so there's no mitzvah. Well, the Gemara says, the Gemara asks, aren't you a Kohen?
Right.
Okay, fine. Let's assume, and Tosfos takes it seriously. So Tosfos takes it seriously and says, no, Borelo Sheyechayehu, but the answer there is there's no mitzvah Pekuach Nefesh. There's no mitzvah Pekuach Nefesh whatsoever. Because he's already dead. So you don't have to bring him back to life. There's no mitzvah Pekuach Nefesh. And how could it be? So you see that Pekuach Nefesh is not what gets in charge. There's no mitzvah that's supposed to be involved, that's supposed to get in your way of saving someone's life. Rabbi Bleich takes the same approach. In the article we quoted last time, he takes the same approach. That it's not the mitzvah of Pekuach Nefesh that gets you out of it, it's the outcome of Pekuach Nefesh. So what's the difference? What about Osek v'mitzvah, Patur v'mitzvah? Right, he was talking about triage, so if you're in some type of an arena and there's cholim in closer to you and farther away from you, can you say that once I'm dealing with one mitzvah, one chola, I can't go to deal with another one? Or in ma'vir nala mitzvahs, can you step over one chola? Do those things apply? And he says no, because it's not a mitzvah. It's irrespective, because that has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Hatzalas Nefashos. And so it's not, you could, yes,
exactly.
Meaning, no, the fact that you're dealing, meaning you're not, no, you are, there is a mitzvah of asas nefesh, but the heter to violate for pikuach nefesh, is not totally in the din of the mitzvah. So he thinks enough means for whether osik b'mitzvah, whether with, or ein mafir nala mitzvahs. So I think also for Rabbi Bleich, he has another problem. He has a big problem, because, and he writes like this, and then later he writes differently. So I pushed him on this, because he's changed his mind. He'll agree to this. Why let's violate Shabbos for a chola? Before any of this, the mitzvah of Gosh Nefesh. A mitzvah of Gosh Nefesh means I have to do it, no? Mitzvah of Gosh Nefesh means if there's a mitzvah to save his life, I have to save his life. It's a mitzvah to do so. Okay, which then means that at the end of life, there can never be an optional to Gosh Nefesh. Optional to Gosh Nefesh can't exist in that world, because if I'm allowed to violate Shabbos for him, meaning if you're going to have an end-of-life patient who wants everything done, everybody will agree that you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. No one disagrees to that. Cool, right? If he wants everything done, he's very clear. So if he wants everything done, so then there's a mitzvah of Gosh Nefesh. If there's a mitzvah of Gosh Nefesh, how could it possibly be optional? How could it possibly be optional? And there are going to be cases where it's going to be optional. So at first, he really was resistant to this whole optional thing. He was really, really resistant. There cannot be any pikuach nefesh that's optional.
Is totally in the, not totally in the sick person?
So it could be totally in how much he's suffering, meaning because there won't be a mitzvah. I mean, how can you ever have a choice? If it's a mitzvah, you don't have a choice. You have to do it.
Pikuach nefesh is on me to try to save him.
Yeah.
Does he have to?
Yeah, I would think, and I think I got this from him, that pikuach nefesh is me to save me and you to save me. Meaning the same way that you have to save me, I have to save me. There shouldn't be any difference. I think I got that from my wife also. But meaning he thinks that if there can't be any room for choice. But if you come now and say, wait a minute, he doesn't point this out in the article that he wrote this year, but I think this is Miyashev's opinion from many years ago. If it's not the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh that allows you to violate Shabbos, you don't need a mitzvah of pikuach nefesh to violate Shabbos. So you can say in certain end-of-life situations, it's not a mitzvah. It's no longer a mitzvah. You don't have to. You don't have to. But you're allowed to violate, so there's no mitzvah, so therefore you're not obligated to. But you could, and if you wanted to, it's the same idea that Shabbos can't get in the way of saving a life, if that's what you choose, even though there's no mitzvah at
all. At the end of life, there's no chance of saving a life.
No, but let's say extending for a day, a minute, chayshah. Meaning, he had a problem. He just had a logical impossibility. But now he got out of his, this helps him get out of his logical impossibility. I think that's when he put this paragraph, which didn't need to be there, in this article to get out of his previous thing. But what do you get from this? You get from this that it's not about the mitzvah, right? It's not necessarily about doing a mitzvah, and therefore there's no steer between the obligation, having a choice towards the end of life. But getting back to this now, according to Rav Moshe, right? So it's about the action. It's about the action, regardless of your intent. I think if you're saying it's not about the mitzvah, it makes it a lot easier. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, you have to have in mind what? You have to have in mind that you're doing what? You're doing the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh. You have to have in mind that it's a mitzvah of pikuach nefesh that's docha Shabbos. According to Rav Moshe, if you take this whole approach, it's not about the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh. That which allows you to be docha Shabbos is not the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh. You're allowed to be docha Shabbos. So even the fact that he has no intention in for the mitzvah, it's irrelevant. He'll be allowed to be mechal Shabbos. It's true. He'll also fulfill the mitzvah of atzelus nefashos, but it's not the mitzvah of atzelus nefashos that allows him to be mechal Shabbos. It's the totzah of saving lives. So according to Rav Moshe,
how do you classify this idea of pikuach
nefesh? Pikuach nefesh, that mitzvot cannot come in the way of saving a life, even if there's no mitzvah.
What category
nefesh.
Is
this
in? It's by itself,
you think it's the Chayavim. That's what the Chayavim teaches you. The Chayavim Gufa teaches you that even when there's no mitzvah of pikuach nefesh, the totzah of pikuach nefesh allows you not to get you out of the iser. So okay, once there's no mitzvah, so you have to ask kavana for a mitzvah, so you can follow my
mitzvah.
I don't know. It could affect. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure.
You're saying there's no, it just supersedes everything else.
Correct.
That sounds like Chutra, doesn't it?
It sounds a lot like Chutra. The Kovetz Ha'aretz doesn't say that, and Rabbi Bleich doesn't say that. So I don't know.
But how would they? I mean,
correct. I don't know. You're right. It sounds like it's more of a Chutra. It's hard to say the Chuyos.
Right?
Correct. Fine. So if you think that that's true, so then it's all about your actions, so then your intentions are irrelevant, so then the guy who wants to make the money to donate the kidney should be fine. So what about the Rambam? Meaning, fine. So according to this approach, it's about Maisav, it's not about his Kavanah. What about the Rambam, who quoted both opinions in the Gemara? He could have not, you could have said, okay, those nine did the right there. What are you going to do? Meaning, you could have told me, meaning, what I would have expected was to say no. You follow his masa. That's what you follow his masa. And that's why when he catches the baby, he's caught there because he caught the baby. That's why he can donate the organs, doesn't matter. And the nine people with the figs, okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So say, okay, they're pater onus. I would have said they're pater because of onus. Those other nine people who brought the figs, you're right. They should have been chayav because...
But it's even another reason, if you don't tell them that they're pater, no one will ever
do it. So you could say, or say that. Say that. Say, if I don't tell them they're pater, no one will ever do it. And therefore, I need to encourage them to do it. And we do that sometimes.
Yeah.
When it comes to Shulchan Aruch, we say that, but it doesn't. And then Shulchan Aruch...
Right,
we do this all the time. Right, if there's someone comes to... So say that. But he doesn't. And then Shulchan Aruch adds in Yishlam Sachar Tov Me'ez Hashem, which is a little bit like, you want to tell me I didn't do anything bad, you want to encourage them. Yishlam Sachar, it's only coming to Shulchan Aruch. But it's only coming to Shulchan Aruch that says it. So I think the answer is that's also about the Masa, because, and this is, only 3 minutes, but the mitzvah of Pikuach Nefesh is not to save a life. The mitzvah of Pikuach Nefesh is to try to save a life. Because when you have the guy in the emergency room working on the guy for an hour and a half, and the person dies, you don't say he violated Shabbat.
Right.
He didn't violate Shabbat. He didn't save lives. He didn't save a life. Practically speaking, he didn't save a life. But he... because he
was back to Mashavir.
Meaning, no. No. It's about the Masa. But when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, the Masa is the attempt. It's the conscious attempt to save a life. So when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, it's the Masa. And so therefore, the ER doctor's hour and a half, he's saving lives. He's doing the mitzvah of Pikuach Nefesh. He happens to be doing the mitzvah of Atzalos Nefashos, even though he happens not to have saved a life. So that's why it's not a stealer. There, it's also the Masa. You did an action to the best of your ability. So those nine people fulfilled the mitzvah of Pikuach Nefesh, even though their figs weren't used. That's why Yesh Lam Sachar Tov Me'ez Hashem, because they fulfilled the mitzvah. Or Shlomo Zalman Orbach used this...
You learn from the Mishkan too, right? People who brought whatever, everything wasn't used because we didn't have the mitzvah.
Right, so I think, just adds in, I think, this extra line to make it even clearer. He has two, so I think that explains, first of all, the ER doctor. It also explains, he brings to another case, let's say you have, there's a hospital call and three people go out. And so we'll make it a happy case, she has the baby. Let's have a baby, Baruch Hashem, she has the baby, everyone's fine. And there are two people still driving.
On the way to
deliver the baby. Should you call them to tell them to stop? Because let's assume that driving is multiple Isurim. So once the baby's born and everybody's fine.
I got to call them.
So you'll call the phone. You'll pick up the phone. But I'll call on the phone to keep them from violating the driving. To keep them from driving. Because theirs is much worse than me. Right? Theirs is much worse than me. And there, and
that's the whole challenge itself.
Correct. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, but another factor would be, wait a minute. You're going to violate Shabbos and tell them to stop what? Driving, because it's also. He says, no. He says, they're not doing anything wrong. They're not doing anything wrong, because they think that there's a baby to be delivered. So long as they think there's a baby, they're wrong. They think that, but they're not completely misled. They left the house thinking there is a baby to be delivered. They're doing the mitzvah of Pikuach Nefesh, just like those nine people doing the mitzvah of Pikuach Nefesh. So absolutely shouldn't call them.
On the other hand, they're headed the wrong way for the next call.
Correct. So let's assume that you have to assume that there's no...
That's not what I'm talking about.
So you have to assume that they're in Yerushalayim or something, where like if you're 5 feet this way or 5 feet that way, you might even be closer to the next call.
Can I go back?
So that's a different question. Can they go back? That's another, but they're in Israel, so they're installed in Israel, so they're not going to go back. But meaning they might be 5 minutes closer, just because how Yerushalayim... Correct. It depends how... So, leaving that factor aside,
okay.
He said that you're absolutely not allowed to call them, because you're going to violate Shabbos to pick up the phone, which is a Darabanan, according to some Zalman.
They
did absolutely nothing wrong, because it's really about their machshava. They're following the Maisa, meaning I'm going to argue it's about their Maisa, but that's a Maisa... That's considered to be with their
son. Someone held it once they get to the baby, they've got to stay in the rest of Shabbos or until the next call?
Or they can go back with so then they have to, so if the truck is needed back, then they can take it back. Depending on circumstances. In the yeshuv or something, yeah, you could drive it back.
I assume it's always needed, that's the right.
No, but meaning again, in Yerushalayim, you don't know where. Meaning the fact that you brought it here isn't going to be necessarily.
If you abandon the ship.
No, you might have to stay there.
Okay.
So he was not letting you drive back.
In the back seat of the,
In
the Maisa, that's what they're following in Israel?
I have no idea what they follow in Israel. Elie Beer with your last chapter. It's kind of bad. Fine. But according to this, at least, technically speaking, it's Mutter. Meaning, if technically speaking, it wouldn't have been Mutter, then I don't have to make a takana to make it Usher. We don't have to have the question. But I think that technically speaking, it's going to be Mutter. And then I think that Rav Zilberstein's point is on target. Okay, so now we have to think about whether this is a good idea or not. The other factor, and I'm going to pause, but the other factor, what about the Schar Mitzvah? I don't know how you judge this. What about the schar mitzvah? Do you get, like, you know, mitoch shelol lishma bal lishma? Does the schar mitzvah change when it's shelol lishma and lishma? You got the mitzvah. I understand that.
It's mitzvah. The fact that you put in the effort.
So it could be. I don't know. So that's, I want to figure out one of those four down as well. Maybe the Rosh Hashanah next week. Okay.